Hello, welcome to the Girl and Duck podcast. I'm Jen Storer, acclaimed children's book author and chief inspirationalist. That's not a term I made up. At girlandduck.com, creative writing, creative life. At Girl and Duck, I take you on a journey from exploring the art of kidlit creation right through to mastering the art of kidlit creation. To find out more about the courses and products that I offer, pop over to the website. You're bound to find inspiration and support and something to absolutely love over there. That's www.girlandduck.com. But in the meantime, stick around because we've got lots to talk about. Hello, good morning, and how are you today? I am going to talk to you a little bit today, dear listener, about voice. Voice is one of my absolute favourite topics, and we had a fantastic question today in the Duck Pond all about voice. Very in-depth question, and one that I want to explore in office hours next month because it will be a lot easier and a lot more fun for me if I can actually talk to people about this in Zoom, and we can really pull apart the question, which was a lot to do with author voice as distinct from character voice and that kind of stuff. So we're going to go into that in the Duck Pond coaching call next month. But for now, I thought it was a really good jumping off point here to talk about voice in a little bit more depth with everybody. Now, of course, I don't know where you are in your writing journey. You might be well along or you might just be starting, but I think it's always a good place to get everybody on the same page is to start with some sort of official definition, okay, so that there's no confusion. Because what I've discovered is when I teach about voice in real life, I discover that, you know, when I ask people to tell me what voice is, you know, I can have a class of like 42 students and ask them what voice is, and everybody kind of has a sense of what it is. But we usually end up with a whiteboard covered in guesses. Some of them way off the mark, others getting close. But, you know, when you ask people to actually, you know, tell me, what is voice? What is voice in creative writing? There's lots of different opinions, and people tend to get lost in talking about tone, or sometimes they start talking about dialogue. Okay, they get a bit tangled up when asked to define voice. So that's why in my book See Me Jump, you know, the very first thing that I talk about is voice and what it's all about. And I actually dissect a piece of Enid Blyton writing and explain how it works from the perspective of voice. So I really, really pull it apart in terms of its voice and say, this is why it sounds the way it sounds. All right. Because this is the choices that the author has made, and this is what it's all about, isn't it? This is what voice is all about. It's about your choice of words and how you put them together. So let me give you an official definition of voice. Voice refers to the individual writing style of an author. It's not just that. It's a combination of idiosyncratic uses of elements such as syntax, diction, punctuation, character development, dialogue within a given body of text or across several works. All right? So voice refers to the individual writing style of an author. And the individual writing style of an author comes about via a combination of idiosyncratic uses of elements. All right? So it's how you put your sentences together. It's what words you use. It's how you use punctuation. You know, I'm very passionate about punctuation. Don't overlook punctuation. It affects everything. It affects the pacing. It affects the rhythm. All right? It's a very, very important part of voice. Character development and dialogue within a given body of work. So there's all these things going on, but they're all dependent on what words you choose and how you string them together. That's where you get voice from, all right? What words you choose and how you string them together. So whether it's an author voice or the voice of the character, it's the same thing, Okay, it's the same thing. It's coming down to which words you use and how you put them together. So it's fascinating. It's fascinating. And our Ducky was talking about, you know, intrusive voices, you know, an author voice that is intrusive and injects itself into the text and all that sort of thing. Now, of course, that was a really popular writing style back. She's talking about C.S. Lewis. You know, it's, back in that day, that was very, very common for an author to create that sort of almost autocratic voice, which nowadays, of course, comes across as condescending, doesn't it? I mean, even if you look at Roald Dahl, you'll see there's a lot of condescending, there's a condescending tone, or sometimes sort of patronizing tone to some of his work. All right, but this just indicates attitudes towards towards creative writing and towards writing for children in those days. The same with Enid Blyton. I mean, that's why I take in a piece from Enid Blyton in See Me Jump and pull it apart so that I can explain, you know, firsthand how this is working, how voice is working in Enid Blyton and why it comes across nowadays as old-fashioned. I'm using air quotes, old-fashioned and condescending, because that was the style of the day. Now, what I want to say, though, is that you can still use a style like that in terms of your voice, but you've got to be wily and you've got to be clever if you're going to do that. But you can still use that sort of authoritative voice if you want to. You can write in whatever voice you want to, as long as it's considered and accomplished and you're aware of what you're doing. All right, so that's why Daniel Handler in Lemony Snicket, it's a beautiful sort of parody of that old-fashioned voice, isn't it? If you read that style, it's still authoritative and it still interjects a lot and it still guides the reader, but it does so, you know, it does so from a modern take and a bit tongue-in-cheek, but it's all accomplished through the words that he chooses and the order that he places them in, you know, the diction, the syntax, the punctuation. That's how he's achieving that voice. That's how this is going on. So it's really, really, that's why I can talk about voice forever, all right, and analyze it forever, and why I'm so interested when I read people's work as to what voice they're using. And when I was an editor, this would be the thing that would get me in. You've got a box of unsolicited, literally a box of unsolicited manuscripts under your desk, and you're going to have to, in your lunch hour, you know, sift through and find ones that you want to stick with, that you want to read. Now, the first thing that's going to jump off the page is the voice. All right? That's the thing that's going to catch you. You don't know anything about the book. You don't know about its genre. You don't know anything, okay? But as soon as you start reading it, the voice is going to pop out at you, because the way it's all about, creative writing is all about the way you use language. And so that's what's going to create your voice. That's your individual writing style. Now, it doesn't have to be fancy and it doesn't have to be labored. In fact, we don't want it to be labored. We want it to seem natural and seamless. And that's the catch, isn't it, about creative writing. You know, you've got to, the best writing in lots of ways is invisible, because it is so seamless. It appears easy, like anything. It's like ice skating, you know. You see the accomplished ice skater on the ice rink, and they look like it's so natural. But what they've really done is work their asses off in the background and fallen over a gazillion times, and messed up a gazillion times until everything's smooth and flows. And this is the same with writing and with settling on a voice. Now, voice comes more naturally to some people than to others, but either way, it's still something that you have to watch, and it's still something that you have to work on and that you have to craft. So again, voice is all about coming back to your choice of words and the order that you put them in. And then that will affect your characters and how you build your characters. It will affect your dialogue, because what is dialogue? It's choice of words and the order that you put them in. Okay? So it's hard to separate, I think, it's hard to separate author voice from character voice, because the body of work all works together, because it all comes back to the author and how they choose to use their words. All right, so whether it's in building their character and getting their characters to speak, or whether it's the author's voice and making the author's voice somehow distinct or hidden or comical or intrusive or patronizing or confident or stylistically impressive. Okay, there's all these choices and all this stuff that comes through via voice, and it all comes back to the words that you use and the order that you put them in. So voice is just endlessly, endlessly fascinating. And in my experience, how you the voice that you choose, and this is the big thing for me, this was the big realization for me. The voice that you choose, I want you to hear this, the voice that you choose for the piece that you're working on will open up your imagination or stunt your imagination. This was a big revelation for me, okay, when I was starting out. And I still come back to it. You know, if I'm stuck, if something's not working, I will look at the voice and go, okay, the voice, is the voice wrong here? Because my imagination is not kicking in here. Okay, it's not kicking in, so maybe I'm using the wrong voice. Because there's a direct correlation between voice and the imagination. Don't you think that's fascinating? If you're writing in the wrong voice, you'll come to dead ends. The world of your story won't open up. You've got to get on the right voice to in order to access your imagination in a really rich way. So an example of that would be, you know, with Truly Tan, the first time I wrote, the first story I wrote of Truly Tan was in the third person, okay, using an author's voice. So I'm writing, and I sort of got, I think, halfway through the story or the first story written, and I looked at it and I thought, I kind of like it, but it's not, I don't love it. There's something not quite right about it. And so after playing around for a little while, I sat down and I wrote a diary entry in Tan's voice. Okay, so I went from third person into first person, and bang, then I had the voice. I had the voice of the whole Truly Tan series. It had to be told in first person and it had to come from her, because that's where the idiosyncratic usage of all these elements, such as diction and syntax and punctuation, it all came via her. So then it became funny and interesting and imaginative, because it was a direct line into her mind and her imaginative mind. And so that's when I really started to realize that voice and imagination are tightly, tightly linked. Okay. And then so working on something like Tenzi Farlo, I had to write, of course I had to write in third person for that, because there were so many more characters and it was such a much bigger world. But I also wanted the voice to be borderline old-fashioned, so it was quite literary and quite confident. All right, and that in turn impacted my imagination, because it was richer and more confident and more complex. Then the world became richer and more complex because the voice was more accomplished. It sort of, as a creator, gave me confidence to go deeper and explore deeper issues. It's like you put on different hats every time you talk in a different, every time you write in a different voice. Then if we go into things like the voice that you're using in order to build a character, again, coming back to what words are you using, what order are you putting those words in, all right, you're coming back to that when you're building a character. So an example of that would be, for me, would be the character of Ruby Jane in Tenzi Farlow and the Home for Mislaid Children. Ruby Jane came through as Scottish. And I didn't want her to be Scottish because that was a bit of a nuisance to me. So I thought, oh, I'll just write her, as an English person, because everybody else in the book is English. And as soon as I made that decision not to write her with a Scottish accent, I couldn't access her. She disappeared. She wouldn't cooperate. She wouldn't come out to play. Okay, this particular guardian angel was Scottish, and that was all there was to it. And so I had to write her with a Scottish accent. And so I had to dive in and do some more research into the Scottish accent and develop an ear for it, like I was listening or watching Train Spotting over and over again to sort of get my head into the Scottish accent zone so that I could hear her clearly and get her down on paper. Again, what words did I choose and what order did I put them in? That created the voice of the character within the context of the novel, which used a different voice. But it's all coming from me as the author. So this is why voice is so fascinating, and this is why I love to talk about it endlessly, and explore it and pull it apart. And there's no right or wrong way with voice. I know that people get, they get worried about that they're using an old-fashioned voice or they're using the wrong voice. But it's not about that. It's about being confident and being aware of the voice that you're using it. Okay? And using it with intelligence and skill. If you're using the first voice that falls out of your pen, often it will be dodgy. All right, it'll be the voice of, the last book that you read. It'll be the voice of, oh dear boy, you've got your mother's eyes. All right, you're going to go down the J.K. Rowling, or you're going to go down the Enid Blyton, or you're going to go down the path of, whoever taught you to write creatively at school, and you're going to be stitched up and worried about whether you're passing an exam rather than entertaining and creating a world. Okay, it's two different things. So I really want you to play with voice. I really want you to get to understand voice. I want you to understand also that it never ever ends, this exploration of voice, this playing with voice. It never ever ends. It's part of what we do. That's what we do as writers. We work with words. And so the words that we choose and the order that we put them in, that's the bedrock of what we're doing. So you can't overlook voice. It's super, super important. All right. I actually have to go and do some writing, and I need to stop talking and stop using words. Thank you for listening. I'm Jen Storer, and I will talk to you again soon. Bye. Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you want more ducky goodness, pop over to the website www.girlandduck.com. Or you can find me on Instagram at Jen E. Storer, JenEStorer. Bye for now.